All right. Matthew chapter 2. And I love you. Before we even get started, I got to say I love you. There was an article, I don't remember where it was. It was done in 2019, and it said Christianity is dead. Now, they presented their arguments. 65% of people say they are Christians. But in 2007, that was 78%. Now, that's just people who say it. 13%. In 12 years, don't want to have anything to do with it anymore. Now, I know you'll hear stories about people returning to the church in some ways, but here's the thing. They're not returning to a relationship with Jesus Christ. They're returning to something else. People are moving away from God and from the truth of God. I have a few things here. Just Psalm 139, 13 through 16. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, that my soul knows very well. My frame was hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance, being yet unformed, and in your book they were written, all the days fashioned for me, yet as there was none of them. We have confused. We've taken abortion and it's just whatever. It's your right to your own body. How about Genesis chapter 1, verse 26? Don't worry. The first two, not so much. Or if the first two don't get you, the last ones will. Genesis 1, 26 through 28. Then God said, let's make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth and every creeping thing that creeps on it. So God created man in his own image. In his image he created him, male and female. And God blessed them, said, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth. We have confusion now over gender, what gender we are. There are, I don't know how many different genders. Well, there's two, okay? But I don't know how many they say that there are. But listen, what about Mark 8:38, where Jesus says, for whoever is ashamed of me and my words and this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he opens in the glory of his, when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. What do we do? Do we hide the fact that we're a Christian? Do we? They'll see it in my life. Do they? Really? What about in Matthew chapter 5? And what about adultery? It says starts in the heart. What about murder? And he said it's in your hate of another person. What about divorce? He says, divorce. What about loving your enemies? Now, here we go. What about if we love our enemies? It's easy to love people that love us. It's easy to love people It's not so easy to love people who don't love us. What about it? Paul says here in Timothy, he says, don't give up. You may say, I don't know if I believe anymore. I don't know. That the word is antiquated and outdated and I just don't know. Go to the Word. Don't let it matter what's in your life. Let the Bible say what the Bible says. Your life does not determine what the Bible says. Your life does not change the Word of God. Your life is your life, and the Word of God is the Word of God. First Corinthians 14:23. I've got quite a few scriptures here at the beginning. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. God is not the author of confusion. We have such confusion nowadays that we don't know what to do. And Paul says, stand up. You therefore, my son, this is 2 Timothy 2, I'm finally getting to the passage. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and in the things that you have heard from me, among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Be strong in the grace. Be strong. We're saved by grace. We're justified by grace. We're sanctified by grace. Everything is by grace. None of it, absolutely none of it is of our own doing. It is all of grace through faith. Period. Grace through faith. God, you know what's amazing? Is that the church ever grows at all with God entrusting it to us? He entrusts it to us. You know what that says? That says he's responsible. He's the one that's responsible. And trust others. All things you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who are able to teach others also. Let's commit what we know to others so that we may be, let's get it, Matthew. Last chapter, last verses, final things of Matthew 28. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Have I mentioned lately that I love you? Well, you see, friends, this is our purpose, to go and make disciples. It's our main purpose. We are responsible. And the fact is, have I said that I love you lately? The fact is, I don't know that we've made a disciple this year. A disciple is one who makes other disciples. A disciple is a follower of Jesus who makes other people followers of Jesus. Now, I'm pointing the finger at me, as well as you, as well as you. I'm pointing at me too. It's not just my responsibility. It's our responsibility as the people of God. Invite people to church. We can do that. We can invite them to church. They come to church. They will hear the gospel presented. Invite them to Sunday school. When they come to Sunday school, we have Sunday school teachers. We have great ones who can give them the word of God and lead them to Christ. Invite them. If you're a little more bold, invite them to Christ. Invite them to Jesus. Don't just spend your time talking about fishing and golf and all these other things. Invite them to Jesus. Pray for them first. People need to be prayed for. And really pray for them. Really get on whatever your posture is. I was going to say get on your knees, but that may not be your posture. Really get down and really seek the Lord on behalf of other people. Pray for them. Entrust it to faithful men. You know, that passage at the end of Matthew says, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe. Sunday school teachers, if all you're doing is teaching, you're missing it. You're not missing it, but you're incomplete in what you're doing. Make disciples. Show them how. Teach them how to make disciples. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him, who enlisted him as a soldier. Fight to win. You're a soldier, you're going to get bloodied and bruised. You're a soldier in God's army, you're fighting a spiritual warfare. You're going to get bloody and bruised. If you're not bloody and bruised, you're not fighting. You're not fighting. You're not in the battle. You're just on the sidelines watching. And we're on Wednesday nights, we're studying Saul right now, and David, and two main battles, one with Jonathan, Saul's son, the other with David. And Saul was the king and didn't do a thing, didn't lift a finger, didn't go out, didn't lead the people out, wouldn't even go out against Goliath. He didn't get the victory either. You don't go out, you're not going to get the victory. We surrender the battlefield. We've given up on them. Public schools, universities, government, entertainment, news media. We've given up on them. None of them does right by God. You know, and let me speak. I'm gonna talk against your beloved Fox News. Your beloved Newsmax, too. I'm including them all. It's all propaganda. It just depends on which side you're on. It's either CNN or Newsmax. It's all propaganda for a particular side. Friends, We have got to learn to get in the battle, to get bloody, to get bruised, and to please only Jesus Christ. Only Jesus Christ. He said, no one entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who sent him as a soldier. It's Jesus who sent us as a soldier. And if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. If you're an athlete, you've got to compete according to the rules. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives a prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. Everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to attain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it unto subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should be disqualified. Yeah. I can't say hallelujah, because run such a way as to win. Run to win, and winning is not, this is the rule book right here. This is the rule book. Run in such a way as to win. Make disciples who make disciples, and keep under our bodies and bring it into subjection, lest that when we've proclaimed it with our mouths to someone else, they will be able to say, yeah, he does. Or else they'll say, who are you trying to tell me? You don't do any of that. Hardworking farmer. The hardworking farmer must be the first to partake of the crops. Sow into our lives. Sow the seed into the lives of the people around us. Because they need it. You and I need it. Sow it into our lives. No victories for soldiers who don't fight. No victory for athletes who break the rules. And no harvest for a lazy farmer. Consider what I say. And may the Lord give you understanding of all things. Now, that seems like an insignificant verse. It's actually what I wrote my article on maybe last week, maybe the week before. I don't really remember. It's in James chapter 1, 23 through 27. It talks about looking in a mirror and seeing ourselves. And then we turn around, and as soon as we turn around, we forget what manner of person we are. It's like looking in the mirror and seeing that I need to comb my hair. I know I do. Actually, not as bad as Billy. No. My hair doesn't get messed up like yours does, is what I'm trying to say. Maybe I could see I need to shave, but then turn around and just go on about my business. That's all some of you are doing. You're holding the mirror up, and you're looking at yourself, and you're putting it down, and you're walking away and doing your own thing. It has no effect on your life. None. No effect. Thank you. I love you, dear. Then he says in verse 8, he says, remember that Jesus Christ, the seed of David, who was raised from the dead, according to my gospel. Remember Jesus. Remember Jesus. He gave his life. He gave his life. Paul, next two verses, I'm giving my life. I'm in chains. And then he says, this is a faithful saying, and he closes with this. And this is probably the way it's written, the way it looks here in the Bible, it's probably the end of a song or something like that that they sang or something that they recited often. He said, this is a faithful saying. If we died with him, we'll live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. What that last phrase means, God is faithful to his word. He's faithful to his word, and he'll live up to his word no matter what. My life ain't going to matter. He's going to remain faithful to his word. Oh, but God, I couldn't help it, Mike. He's going to remain faithful to his word no matter what. Faithful. Stand up with me, if you would. I don't know at all. You know what you've got to do. Wherever he leads us go is what we're going to sing. If you need to respond to God in any way, you come, take me by the hand, talk to me. Come and kneel at the altar on your own and pray. Give me a call tomorrow. You come, talk to me. Wherever he leads, I'll go. Let's sing.